This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu bihi wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا رب العالمين وبعد. Special brothers who are present here, as well as those who will, inshallah, be listening online. Today's topic and title, the subject that I want to talk and discuss with you in a brief few moments, inshallah ta'ala, is about love. Why are we talking about love? The title is, What is Love? Maybe lots of people have love programs in February. Yeah, what's the date today? Do you know what the date is today? 13th of February. Tomorrow is 14th of February 2016. Normally, what's 14th of February? Valentine's Day. Not for Muslims, I'm saying generally, it's Valentine's Day. I don't want to talk about the ruling or the discussion and the Islamic perspective on Valentine's. But what I want to do is talk about this subject of love. I hope, inshallah, people understand this. In Arabic, love is termed as, does anybody know what love is considered as in Arabic? Love is? Yes, brother? What is it? Mahabba. Yeah? Or ulfa. Ulfa is love. Mahabba is love. I want to explain to you and discuss the definition. What is love? Mahabba, ulfa, also mawadda. Another word in Arabic describing love. Mawadda. The Quran talks about love between husband and wife. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed between the husband and wife مَوَدَّة, love, وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy. But if I ask myself and you and just generally pose this question, what is love? That's the title of today's talk. What is love? And I'm not singing a song. What is love? If I ask somebody, what is love? Anybody volunteering to answer the question, what is love? Come on, brother there, inshallah. What is love? Bond between two people? Well, it's part of it, slightly. Anyone else wants to say anything else? What is love? Does love mean that you care for that person? Does love mean, like for husband and wife spouses, you will be intimate with one another? Does love mean that you have this care for someone? Because there's different types of love. It's not only husband-wife love. We have husband-wife love. You have brother, sister, family love. Love for parents is different. Love for children is different. Love for other human beings and friends is different. What is the definition? What is love? You know, when people say, I love this person, or I have love for my parents, is it like you care for that person, or you will help that person? You will be in the help and assistance of that individual? Or is it that it's someone you will give your life for? Your own son, daughter is drowning and you save their life, but kill yourself, get yourself killed. You sacrifice yourself for them. Is that what love is? Because it's an abstract word, love. Does love mean that if they need help, financial help, assistance, you will give them help and assistance? If all of these things are there, then in reality, if we say these things are love, then do we see today a brother helping financially another brother? Real blood brother, may do. But then we find today in the world that there's two brothers, real life blood brothers, who are fighting over money, over inheritance. People are shooting one another, killing family members over inheritance. Husband, wife, spouses, they say we love one another until death do us part. They love one another. You know, when people get married, and some of the young people, I don't know if you're married or you have just married, in the beginning when marriage is taking place, or just before even marriage, I will give my life, I will die for you. The same people after 12 years are going through a bitter battle in the court of divorce, fighting over money, fighting over children, who's got custody. The same people in the first week of marriage, oh, I can't live without you, I'm going to die, you know, would you give your life for me? Of course I'll give my life for you. Would you die for me? Of course I'll die for you. Now you're killing the other person. Is that love? That's not love. Because love is something that can never decrease. When somebody has love, real love, then you could never quarrel with that person. You could never fight with that person. If it's real love, you could never argue with that person. You could never have disputes and court battles and enmity. Parents are being oppressive over their children. With friends, one moment there's extreme friendship and love. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, "Ahbib habibaka hawnamma, asa an yakuna baghidaka hawnamma." Love, when you love your beloved, love in moderation, take it easy. Because one day he will become or she will become your enemy. "Wabghid baghidaka hawnamma." And when you don't have close relationship with someone, take it easy. Don't be extreme in your enmity, or don't be extreme in your disassociation, because asa an yakuna habibaka hawnamma. One day that person might become your beloved. When you're friends with someone, you're so close, you tell them all the secrets, everything, and then a day might come, you might become enemies. So moderation. Therefore, what is love? In actual fact, real love is not found in this world, with the creation, with the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Real love, even love for parents, love for children, love for your wife, love for your husband, love for your spouse, love for your family members, uncles, aunts, your teachers, your friends, your associates, your community members, your friend circle. There is no real love for the makhluq, for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This heart cannot have real love. The real love, not possible. Allah has given us this one heart, and this heart can only have the love for the creator of the heart, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only real love you can have in the heart. However, we as human beings do have feelings, and we do care for other people. We do, and we are supposed to care for our parents and for our spouses, for our children, for our husband, for our wife. We are. But because real love is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore all of these friendships, all of this so-called love, secondary love for your husband, wife, parents, children, this love is based on the love of Allah. It's dependent on the love of Allah. It's subservient to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every love, so-called love in this world, is based on the love of Allah. The connection bond has to be firmly with Allah. That's why you can't have real love in this dunya. Real friendship does not exist. Real friendship, brother, does not exist in this world. Who was the closest to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst the companions? Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So close. Someone who sacrificed. When I said in the beginning, what is love? Is it loving? Is it caring for someone? Is it financially helping? He did all of this. The first person to embrace Islam, he said, "Amanna wa saddaqna." That's why he was termed a Siddiq. He affirmed what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. First person to believe, and not just that he believed, he stayed on that belief. He stayed on that belief all his life. He sacrificed. He was tested, but he sacrificed for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his life, he financially helped him. Physically cared for him. He defended him. We know the stories. What happened in Ghar Thawr? You know, when they were migrating from Mecca to Medina, they went in. Have you been to the cave of Thawr on the mountain? He went in first and he closed all the holes, blocked them, and there was one hole left. He put his foot. First, he took some sheets and pieces of cloth and tried to fill all the gaps. And when there was no sheet and cloth left, with his foot, he closed the hole. And then we know the story. A snake or a scorpion, what was it? Bit him. Snake bit him. Allah talks about that in the Quran. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. Allah talks about when they were in the cave, that when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying to his companion, not his friend, his companion, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu would have given his life. He financially helped. Everything you could do for a friend. The greatest example of friendship and love. One Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he says that on the same journey of Hijrah, he said the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely hungry and thirsty. Many days he said nothing to eat. So I went and got some milk. I found some milk. Only enough for him to drink. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu himself was extremely hungry and thirsty. Hasn't eaten anything for many, many days. But he gave this milk to his beloved, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, when I saw him drink that milk, I became filled. What does that mean? Him drinking is like me drinking. You know, some people say, you drink life, it's me drinking. You eat, I eat. This is how he said, I saw him drink and I felt satiated, like filled. This was the extreme connection he had with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I was to make anyone a friend in this world, I would have made Abu Bakr my friend radiallahu anhu. لَكِنَّ صَاحِبِي خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. But I am the friend of Allah. This is what he said. If I was to make anyone a friend, Abu Bakr would be my friend. But in this world, real friendship cannot be for anybody. This is why when there's a test, when there's a challenge, this is why love has to be love which is based on the love of Allah. How do we know it's based on the love of Allah? If there's a conflict between Allah's command and pleasing one's beloved, so-called beloved, then what do we do? Allah's command comes before the happiness of the beloved. If your spouse says something, wants to you to do something, and you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course Allah's pleasure comes before. This is the meaning of love based on the love of Allah. And this is what Islam teaches, brothers and sisters. This is what Islam teaches. We have to try to make our hearts fully, totally, completely deep into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then every love is based on that love. Every love is based on that love. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ إِيمَانُهُ. Whoever loves for Allah, dislikes for Allah, gives for the sake of Allah, withholds for the sake of Allah, he has indeed completed his faith. Loving for the sake of Allah, that's what you call real love. We love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam because we are loving, because we love Allah. And in reality, love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is love for Allah. But all the other forms of love is love for the sake of Allah. You love your wife for the sake of Allah. You love your husband for the sake of Allah. You love your parents because of Allah. You love your children because of Allah. You love other Muslims and family members and relatives for the sake of Allah. Whoever you are loving, it's only and solely for the sake of Allah. It's all based on the love of Allah. It's based on the commands of Allah. It's based and dependent on the commands of Allah, the love of Allah, the connection of Allah, the deep sort of relationship and connection and strong connection we have with Allah. I'm going to explain this to you, but how do we do that? But this is what this hadith is saying. Every love has to be based on the love of Allah. And you know what? When this happens in our life, then you will see that the friendship of the world, the love, secondary type of love of the world, will actually last. A husband and wife who are married, if they love one another because of Allah, not because they, it's for themselves. Because I said, what is love? In the beginning I asked, is love, like you said, bond, or you care for someone, or you want to financially help them? Or there's one other thing I forgot. Sometimes love is, you're trying to please your own self. Like there's a need in your heart. There's a desire. There's something missing in your heart that you want to fill that. That you're loving someone is for your own self. It's not for them. It's like the heart needs to love something. So, you know, I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling empty. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm feeling lonely. I need to be in a relationship because there's some emptiness, vacuum in my heart. So that is really for yourself. Whenever it's for other reasons, for personal gratification, whenever the connection, bond, love is for personal gratification, or for other reasons other than the love of Allah, then most likely there's going to be problems in this love. It's not going to last. That's why people's marriages end. That's why divorce takes place. Because the love, bond, link, marriage, connection, relationship was not built on the connection and the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why divorces take place. And this is why many of the early scholars said that, look, have taqwa in your life. Build a connection with Allah. Consider marriage to be ibadah. If husband, wives both have fear of Allah and they are connected to Allah, they are close to Allah, they worship Allah, their whole lives are based on their connection with their Lord, then that marriage will be prosper. That marriage will remain forever. Because they are doing things for the sake of Allah. And that's why there's so many hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in one hadith that the people who love for the sake of Allah, lahum manabir min nur, on the day of judgment they'll have pulpits made out of light. They'll have pulpits. Yaghbituhumul nabiyuna wa shuhada, the prophets and the martyrs will be envious of them. There's a hadith al-Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that al-mutahabuna fi jalali, the people, wajabat mahabbati lil, sorry, this is another hadith, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabina fiya, my love, Allah is saying, my love is for those people who love one another for my sake. Wal mutajalisina fiya, they sit for my sake. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّا, they visit for my sake. In other words, loving, sitting, meeting, greeting, going for a janazah prayer, visiting, going to a wedding, attending a wedding. Why? For the sake of Allah. Why are you going to visit someone? For the sake of Allah. You going to the hospital to see someone? Why? For the sake of Allah. Not because, oh, you know what? He will say, why? People will say, why didn't you come? You know, we have all these wrong intentions. We give a hadiyah, gift. Hadiyah, gift. You know, gift? The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tahadaw tahabu. Exchange gifts, you will increase in love. Now this will only happen, increase in love, if there's a right intention. Giving of the gift is for the sole reason sake of pleasing Allah. With ikhlas, with sincerity, even giving gift. Nowadays what happens, why do people give gifts? Yeah, people will be exchanging gifts tomorrow. Giving gifts. Why? People's wedding times, why do they give gifts? Sometimes the reason is, of giving gifts, is because if we don't give gifts, we'll have a bad name, bad reputation. People will take it bad. What will people say? It's just for showing off. It's for ostentation. It's for riya. It's for showing off. Wedding time, you came without no gift. Like, how can you not give a gift? There is no reward. There's actually sins. This gift is an act of sin. Anyone who gives a gift to show off, anyone who gives a gift so that, you know, the other, you know, people don't talk bad about them negatively, that's a sin. It's haram to give that gift. Another bad intention is, happens in marriages. You give a gift, and this is even worse. You give a gift with the intention that when our time comes, they'll give us a gift. This is actually mentioned in the Quran. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ in Surah Al-Mudathir. Don't do favors on others. Don't give things to others with the intention that they will give you more afterwards. And in another surah, Allah considered this. He actually gave it the name riba. What is riba? Interest. Yeah, we know interest, banking interest. But the Quran says this is also riba. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Don't give gifts to people with the intention that when your time comes, they'll give you more. People make list that, you know, this person gave us this gift, this person gave us this gift, this person gave it. Now it's our time. Okay, we have to give them. It's payback. It's all payback. This is transaction. This is not a gift. This is a business dealing, interest-based dealing. My wedding time, you gave me this gift, £300. So we need to give you 305. This is interest. That was qard, that was a hiba, that was a loan. These are all haram, unlawful, customary, cultural, customary ways of giving a gift. Islam says, look, ikhlas, this is what the whole thing is about. Niyyah. Niyyah has to be correct. The gift has to be for the sake of Allah. What is the intention? When you love someone, what is the intention? This is the hadith. Tahadaw tahabu. When you give somebody a gift, the intention should be as follows. Express your love for that person and obtain the love of the other for the sake of Allah. This is the intention. When you give a gift to someone, only and solely for the sake of Allah, to express your love for the other person and to achieve and obtain and gain the love of the other person for yourself. That's the intention. But it has to be for the sake of Allah. Sometimes give a gift, the person doesn't need to know. Go to a wedding sometimes and put an envelope without no name, one Muslim brother, one Muslim sister, your friend. Nobody knows. For the sake, you know and Allah knows. They don't need to know. They don't even need to know who's given that gift. You don't have to write on the envelope from Mr. and Mrs. whatever. There's no need. Nobody needs to know. It's for the sake of Allah. Reward is in the akhirah. This is why we have so many problems in our life. Family problems, relationship problems, divorce problems, marriage problems, husband-wife problems, parents-children problems, brother-sister problems. Everywhere there's fights, quarrels, disputes. You know what? The main reason is people have forgotten ikhlas and sincerity and correct intention. Every relationship is based on some other reason. The husband and the wife relationship. Islam says, love for the sake of Allah. What does that mean, love for the sake of Allah? Love for the sake of Allah is you're caring for the other person because Allah has told you to care for that person. Not because if my wife is good to me, then I'll be good to her. People do transactions. You know, I have so many brothers and sisters, when they call me, they say, you know, I do this for my husband, and I'm good, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, but he doesn't do anything in return. So what? Are you doing it? Is this a transaction? Like, okay, you know, you scratch my back, then I'll scratch your back, and you give me £2, I'll give you £2. You know, you cook food for me, and then I'll be nice to you. Is this a transaction? This is not a transaction between husband and wife. It's not about what others do for us. My parents don't treat me well, so I don't need to listen to them. Oh, my children are not listening to me, so why should I be nice to them? Every relationship has become a transaction, a buyer and a seller. That's what's become. Every relationship. That's why Islam says, do not look at what the other person is fulfilling, because you're not doing it in order to gain anything in return. Your love for the person, your friendship, your caring for the person, your looking after for the other person, you're fulfilling the huquq for the sake of Allah. What you want in return, when you are good to your wife, what do you want in return? You don't want her cooking food for you. You're not being good because she's going to cook for you a nice fish biryani. No, you're not being nice to your wife because she'll press your feet for you, or she'll, you know, clean the house for you. You're not being nice to your husband because he'll give you some money, or he will take you out somewhere. You're not showing love because they will do something for you. No, you are showing love because the Quran has told you, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us. The reason why we are showing love and being caring and nice and gentle, because we love Allah. It's Allah who's told us. The moment Allah says don't love, we won't love. The moment Allah says don't listen to your spouse, we won't listen. If your spouse says, you know, don't offer Fajr Salah, sorry, I can't. Allah's love comes before your love. Your whole love, my love for you, is all based on the love of Allah. It's all connected to Allah. The whole relationship is based on the love of Allah. Every relationship has to be based on the relationship of Allah, connection with Allah. And this is why we see that there is a big difference between, you know, everyone loves, between our love for our parents, our children, our friends, brothers, siblings, our husband, wives, and the people of Allah, the awliya of Allah, the people of taqwa. We love for the other reasons. Maybe most of us, we have this love because it feels good. We fulfilling our own desire to an extent. But what they love for, or they show friendship and relationship, is because of fulfilling the huquq that Allah, the rights that Allah has put on them. Allah has said to them. The Quran says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your women honorably. They fear this. They have taqwa. They have extreme love for Allah. And because of the extreme love of Allah, they what? They take care of the spouses. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I advise you to look after your women honorably. Khiyarukum khiyarukum li nisa'ihim. The best amongst you are the best to their wives. And about the women, المرأة إذا صلت خمسها وصام شهرها وأطاعت زوجها دخلت الجنة من أي باب شاءت. A woman who prays her 5 times, offers prayers, and fasts Ramadan, obeys her husband, serves her husband, she'll enter Jannah from whichever door she wants. So many hadiths. This is the reason why a pious individual, a believer, a Muslim connected to Allah, this is the reason, main reason, why you are good to your husband, you are good to your wife. The one who is not connected to Allah, the disbeliever, the one who doesn't believe in Allah, it's all for personal relationship. But then that can't remain. That's why marriages get boring. How many people stay in a marriage? You go outside and do a survey. Okay, just go outside on this, what is it called, Hackney Road. Go and do a survey for our YouTube channel. Okay, take a, what do you call it, mic, and go around, ask. How many people have stayed in one single relationship all their life? I don't think you will find nobody. Talk to anyone, 60-year-olds, 65-year-olds. Since the beginning, when you first, in your teenage years, speak to a 65-year-old man, till today, how many relationships have you been in? 10, 12, 15, 30, 40, 50? Allahu A'lam.
Very rarely you will find somebody who's been in one relationship. Very rarely, impossible. Look at all the celebrities and look at anyone outside, everyone. They get married, then they go through a massive divorce. All the wastage of money. She's just given it to us, we could have built a masjid. Well, I don't know about with that money. But all the wastage of money. Ask, see how many people. Go and seriously, go into a survey. See how many people stay in a single relationship. I'm not even talking about marriage. In a single relationship. Very rare. And the same thing is happening to Muslims. Ask Muslim young people. If you ask the old people, mashallah, our grandparents and maybe one, you know, marriage, they've never, the man has not seen another girl in his life, and he married her when he was 20 and she was 19, and they have 85 and 84 now, nothing's come between them. Why? Because they lived a life of taqwa. The only way this is possible to stay in a single relationship is when you have fear of Allah. You have taqwa. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Otherwise the marriage is going to end. Marriage cannot be prosperous without connection with Allah. This is because it'll get boring. How can you stay like 60 years with the same person? It's boring. It is difficult, it's boring sometimes. You get bored after 5 years, bored. Okay, divorce, move on. The other woman looks better now. The same woman after 5 years, she gets boring. Then a third woman looks better. Some people say, I want to get a second wife and I want to get a third wife. But you know what, the second one will be like the first one after 2 years. And then the third one will be like the second one. And the fourth one will be like the third one. And then all of them will be. Then you just get rid of all four of them, go. Somebody actually did this. He got married once and took a second one, third and fourth, and his headache got so bad that he just divorced all four in one go. I've had enough, four headaches. Because the relationship is with, not with Allah. If someone has this deep connection with Allah, connection with Allah, marriage is based on taqwa. This is why a lot of people don't know this. Oh, a lot of people may know this, but they don't think about it. You know when you get married, nikah, the khutbah the imam recites is called khutbatul hajah. In there the sunnah is to recite three verses of taqwa. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would conduct marriages, from surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ تَقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسِ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That's ayah number one. Have you ever attended a nikah ceremony? Yes, so you must have heard of these ayat. People don't know, because another problem, you don't know the Arabic, you don't know the verse, nobody knows what's going on. What is nikah? What's happening? Why is the imam reading this? Nobody knows anything. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Surah Al Imran. And then, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. All verses of taqwa. Like in the sunnah, the khutbah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have chosen any other ayah to do with nikah and marriage. But he didn't do that. He chose three verses that have the word fear Allah in them. Why? Nikah time, we're not talking about nikah. Like he could have recited a verse, get married. Or, you know, it could be something about nikah and marriage. I want somebody ask me, we want a talk on marriage. So I went there and gave a talk on taqwa. Afterwards they said, we thought, you know, the talk was about marriage. I said, well, marriage is taqwa. That's what marriage is. It's ibadah. This is why three verses, the fear of Allah. Why these three verses are being recited now? To remind the bride and the groom, the husband and wife, that if you want this marriage to survive, there's only one way that it will happen, which is fear of Allah. At every moment, the moment you want to speak to your wife, you think to yourself, what is taqwa? You think to yourself, the way I speak, the words I use, the tone I use, Allah will ask me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me on the day of Qiyamah, why did you shout at your wife? Likewise the woman, Allah will ask the woman, why did you swear at your husband? Why did you talk to her in this way? Why did, you know, the way we treat our parents, children, everyone, all this relationship, this is what taqwa is. There's one sheikh from the subcontinent, he once said to his students in his old age, that in 55 years of marriage, I have not raised my voice over the voice of my wife. Imagine, 55 years I've been married, I've not raised my voice over the voice of my wife. This is not possible unless you have extreme taqwa and love. Nobody, no romantic person can do this. You know, all these people being romantic on Valentine's Day. Yes, it's easy to be, you know, like give a flower and I love you and, you know, all of that. And then what, after about 1 week, you'll probably be swearing on the street or somewhere. Or at home, you've just woken up and probably you swore at one another. Because you went to get, you know, something went wrong at home and, you know, argument. Gave a rose and then 2 weeks later there's an argument. What's happened? This is why, and look at this sheikh, he's saying, 55 years I've been married, I have not raised my voice. I haven't said it. Hey! Nothing like, not raised my voice. Just imagine. I've mentioned this many times in the talks, and it's, when you think of it more and more, it's just, sometimes you think it's humanely impossible. Imagine, this is not just, I haven't, you know, I can say to you, brother, I've never shouted at you in my life. I've never raised my voice. First time I've seen you, it's easy. I can say to any brother here, like, I've never got angry at you, I never swore at you, easy. Imagine saying that about your wife. You sleep in the same bed, you sleep in the same room, you eat the same food, you eat together, you sleep together, you live in the same house, you do things together, you discuss, you raise children together, you raise your sons together, you raise your daughters together, you think about everything about life together. Imagine 55, that's 5 years you live day and night with someone and you don't, let alone swear and shout, you don't even raise your voice. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. The Quran says, when you talk to someone, lower the tone of your speech. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Because donkeys shout. This is what the Quran says. Not human beings, they don't scream and shout. Imagine, this is his wife, 55 years, he's never raised his tone. This can only happen. This can only happen if, when this person, this sheikh, was connected to Allah. He loved his wife for the sake of Allah. It's this fear in the heart that I need to fulfill her huquq, her rights, for the sake of Allah. And this is why the dua says, Allahumma ij'al hubbaka ahabba al-ashya'i ilayya. O Allah, make your love the most beloved to me. And that's why the hadith, again, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من نفسه وماله وولده والناس أجمعين. You can't be a complete believer until I don't become more beloved to you, even than your own self, your children, your wealth, and your whole of mankind, even than your own selves. In other words, we have to love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than even our own selves. You know, someone, when we say, what is love? Again, back to the original question, what is love? What is love? Original question. Can you love yourself? You know, when you say love is like, you know, you give your life, then of course the most love will have for your own self. In Islam, we have to have love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than even we love our own selves. If we take this in our life, everything revolves around the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything revolves around love for deen and Islam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This heart cannot have more than two loves. We have to be what? We have to be, what's that word I'm looking for? Not dedicated, but we have to be loyal. This heart, you can't cheat. You can't have other loves. Love is only for Allah. Everyone else is based on that love. If Allah says love that person, yes. You know, when someone has a beloved, then even their friends become beloved. This is why there's a hadith that says that الْخَلْقُ عِيَالُ اللَّهِ فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى عِيَالِهِ. The whole of creation is the family of Allah. That's why Allah loves those people who are good to His family, which means the creation. So, even being good to the creation of Allah is based on the love of Allah, which includes everyone and anyone. Now the question is, and I want to just talk about this and then end inshallah. Some people ask this question, and it's a genuine question. We always hear talks about love for Allah. People talk about it, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything should be for the sake of Allah. Build a connection with Allah. But how is that possible? How can we do that? We can't see Allah. Have you seen Allah, brother? No? Well, I haven't. Can we see Allah? No. It's يؤمنون الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. It's about the unseen. If you have your father, your mother, your parents, your wife, your husband, they're in front of you, they're tangible. This is a lot of people don't address this question. Many people do not address this question. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba had love, they saw him, they would sit with him, they would meet him. We don't see him. A lot of people, because there's so many talks on this, build a connection with Allah, have love for Allah, have love for Allah. But this is a logical question. Okay, have it, but tell us how. How is it possible to have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very important. Because your wife, your husband, your children, you see them in front of you. Everything has to be. Now look, one brother actually asked me this. He said to me that, yes, okay, my love for my wife has to be based on the love of Allah. So here, if there's a contradiction, this is what this means, based on the love of Allah. If there's a contradiction between the love of Allah and the love for my wife, then of course love of Allah should come first. So if she, for example, wants me to do something which is disobeying Allah, then I will not do it. That's why the hadith says, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. No obedience to the creation which results in disobedience to the creator. So of course I will not do this. But sometimes it's difficult because Allah, you know, my wife is right in front of me. I can see her getting angry, I can see her crying, I can see her getting upset. But with Allah, I don't see Allah. My son, at 6 years old, when I teach him, he asks me, like, why can't we see Allah? When are we going to see Allah? I say, don't worry, soon inshallah. Don't worry, we will see Allah. But this is a genuine question. This is the test of the dunya. We don't see Allah in this world. But everything around us, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Everything around us is a sign that there's one and only God. Everything. And the Qur'an is actually filled. We don't look at the Qur'an. This is what the Qur'an tells us. That think, reflect, think, build a connection with Allah. How do you do that? There's every minute of our life, we can build a connection with Allah. But the problem is we are so busy in our lives, so fixated in our lives, that we don't really know. You know, things are so common, like we wake up in the morning. Okay, bathroom, toilet, quick, work, bus, underground tube network, train, workplace, computer, laptop, iPad, this, work, factory, or this place, or shop, or this office, or post, email, everything just like a robotic life. Morning comes, do, food, drink, toilet. Yeah, like one sheikh said that half our life revolves around eating and half the life revolves around exiting. Earning money, half the life is to eat and half the life is to release. Everything is a robotic life. Robotic life. We don't have time to think about Allah. This is why we can't build a connection. The whole of Quran gives us this invitation. Everything, you know, seriously, this is how we build. The Quran says, Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahar. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth. In the creation of the sky and the earth, the heavens and the earth. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The interchanging or the changing of the day and the night. When the night ends and day comes, when day ends and night comes. لآيات لأولي الألباب. There are signs for the people of Aql. You know, the Quran tells us, use Aql and brain. This is what we don't do. So many verses in the Quran. If you want to build a connection and love for Allah, use something that Allah has given in here. You know, when we don't use this, then this is when problems occur. That's why the Quran, لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Think. Sometimes take all your phones and iPads and everything, just go and think. You know what this means? Look at how the day's ending and the night's coming. One of the ways, this is why we live, you know, you go in London, you guys, you just see buses and cars, and this is what's causing the problems. Go look at real, this is all artificial lights. Everything's artificial around us. The Quran says, you know what وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ is? What's وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ? Maybe one day, maybe if you're married, you and husband and wife, go and look at a sunset. Spend, like every few days, a Muslim should try to look at the, you know, the greatness of the creation of Allah, the marvels of Allah. Looking, going, I mean, we don't have sun here as well, but go. This is the Quran says, سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Travel in the earth, فَانْظُرُوا. Reflect, see. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you see how the camels are created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Don't you see how the sky and the heavens are raised? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ. Look at the mountains. Make a special journey to the mountains. We don't see mountains here. We just about see hills. This is what the Quran is telling us. Seriously, we should make a journey to go and just look at the mountains that Allah has created before us. Look at sunset. Look at the sun. Look, how is it going down? How is sun, you know, rising? How is it setting? How does the night come to an end? How does the day come? You know, I've been to Norway many times, about 9 times, I think. Norway. Do you know where Norway is? Norway is next to Denmark. Denmark is next to Sweden. Sweden is next to Finland. Been to Norway, Denmark, Sweden, not Finland yet. But brother, he once was there in one of my journeys in Norway. But the other journey, he didn't come to that journey, but one of the other journeys that I went to, and there were some other brothers with us, we actually went to the northern part of Norway where the sun doesn't go. We went in the summer. We took a 2-hour flight from Oslo, and then we traveled 10 hours like to the north. This is called North Cap, the end part of the world. Sun doesn't go. Like some places, sun, Maghrib was at 11 o'clock at night. But then some places, sun doesn't. 12 o'clock at night is a white sky outside. Midnight, we're praying our Maghrib, Isha, midnight. 1 o'clock Fajr, its sun is there. It gets a bit dim, but the sun doesn't descend. And in winter, day doesn't come. It's just 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, just night. In summer, it's just day. Especially when there, I said, I want to go there. We spent 5 days in those parts of, just to, you know, look at the amazing, you know, the sun is an amazing creation of Allah. Well, we don't have time to think, to study about the sun, about the different stars and planets. The Quran tells us that even when you have milk, we all drink milk, cornflakes, cereal, milk came, all right, or whatever. What did you drink? I don't know. We don't even remember we drank milk or what we drink. Every day, things just, you know, passes by, our lives just go like in a robotic fashion. This is why there's no connection with Allah. The Quran says, when you drink a cup of milk, don't drink it like straight away. Hold it, look at it. Think. مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Where did this milk come from? Allah is telling us in the Quran, think. Don't just drink it. Look at it. Think. Close your eyes. This is building connection with Allah. It came from an animal that's not white. It's a dark, different color animal. The cow. مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمْ. The place where the milk is coming from is between blood, which is red, and farth, which is filth. It's the dung of the animal, dirt. Right from the middle of that, it's going right from there, it's coming. مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا. Pure milk, white milk. سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Extremely tasteful and pleasant for the people who drink. Amazing ni'mah of Allah. Like, it just comes. You don't think about it. Every ni'mah of Allah. Rain, there's so much. I mean, this is a topic on its own. There's so much to think about. When it rains, Allah sends His rain. How does this rain come? Water is a great ni'mah of Allah. How does the water come? The ni'mah of Allah. There's so many. These are everyday ways and methods. This is why the Quran says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know we say dhikr, fikr? This is what fikr means, tafakkur, thinking, pondering. And then bringing that thought in our ibadah, salah with khushu'. Nobody can build a connection with Allah without having khushu' in salah. When you pray salah, thinking about Allah, thinking about what you are doing. You know when you offer salah, we are Allahu Akbar, we are standing before Allah, like we're thinking, okay, I'm standing before Allah. This is what, it's not like, it's not, because we do it every day, we don't really know what we're doing. So you are standing before Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, which means all praise for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, Alameen. So He's created Mars, and Jupiter, and Venus, and the moon, and the sun, and the stars, and every creation. This is Allah, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. This is your Lord. Everything. خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Not just this universe, the whole cosmos system. Everything. This is what we need to think in salah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And this is why it's actually, some ulama say it's makruh to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in one go. When we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we should make a pause. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, stop. Because the hadith says, when the servant recites Surah Al-Fatiha, when he says Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds. Allah says, Hamidani Abdi, Majjadani Abdi, Athna Alayya Abdi. After every verse, after Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, there's a response from Allah. So we need to think. When we say Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, think, Allah is telling me that now. And there was one imam in the olden times who said that I, Alhamdulillah, got to a level that I could actually hear a sound. Every time I would read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, I would hear the response. And I would not move until I don't hear the response. Malik Yawm al-Din. I hear the response. A sound is coming from somewhere, which is in the hadith. We need to know the meanings to be able to get that. We need to know the meanings. Then ruku', why are we doing ruku'? We're bowing down. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. What does that mean? Why are we saying that? Who are we saying it to? What's the meaning of that? Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Rabbana lak al-hamd. Then again, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Why are we saying it? What does it mean? What are the deep meanings of these statements? Even before that, this is called khushu', even before that, wudu'. Why are we washing our hands? The mind has to be focused. And you know what? The more we do this, the less we will talk as well. The person who talks too much doesn't use the brain. The people of intelligence use less of this, use more of the brain. The people who are not intelligent, they use too much of this, less of this. A sign of the intelligence of a person is that he speaks less. The quiet ones, they think. The brain is talking. But we, even although we talk, everyone just talks, like, why are we talking so much for? مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The one who believes in Allah, let him say that which is good or stay quiet. This is why one of the, you know, nasiha of Luqman, the wise, was to stay quiet. And also the hadith, many hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even doing wudu, thinking, I'm washing the hands. This is the first thing, sunnah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wash his hands under his wrists. This is, you know, just really to check the water. I mean, whether it's pure. You know, there's three qualities of the water. What are the three qualities of the water? Taste, smell, and color. So you're just checking the color, really. It's not red, it doesn't have blood in it, it's clean water. Then, madmada, tasting, there's no najasa in it, it's all fine. Then, istinshaq, smelling, no, it doesn't smell like alcohol, there's nothing haram in it, it's clean water. Checked the three things, now let's do our first fard. Wash the face. That's the hikmah. And the hadith says, every organ that you wash, kharajat dhunubuhu, the sins are forgiven. So when you're washing your arm, all the sins are being forgiven. Think, we need to think. You know, I have my son who's 6 years old, when I make him do wudu, I actually tell him, I said, wash your arm, think, yesterday you were naughty. Look, that naughty, that water is naughtiness going away. That naughty, that was when you were being angry. That's that, all the sins are forgiven. So wash it, think. Alhamdulillah, Allah, please, yes, forgive my sins, it's all coming off. Wash. It's in the hadith, this is the thought. Every wudu we do that way. Every wudu. And then read the dua, Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin, waj'alni min al-mutahirin. Mind is focused, every wudu, every salah. At-tahiyyatu lillah, what does it mean? We need to understand the meanings. At-tahiyyatu lillah, wa salawatu lillah, wa tayyibatu lillah, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, all of it. And then after salah, why are we doing salam this way? And who are we intending? And why are we making salam this way? Who are we intending? All of this. And then every dua. Wake up in the morning, we read dua. What's the meaning? Why are we reading dua? Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Oh Allah, all praise for you. All thanks for Allah who gave us life after death. We were dead. Death, sleep is death. That's why we say, Allahumma bi ismika amutu wa ahya. Amutu. Every dua, you go into the toilet. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me from male and female shaitan. You know, my son, I make him, since 4 years old, I make him, not just in Arabic, but I make him learn the meanings. So when he goes in the toilet, it's okay, time to go toilet. Okay, left foot, before I do that. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, please tell all the dirty, naughty shaitan, men, women, shaitan, all the jinns and bad ones to go away and don't come in my toilet when I'm in the toilet. That's his translation. You need to understand the meaning. After we come out, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. What does it mean? What does that mean, that dua? We seek forgiveness from... Why are we seeking forgiveness? غفرانك. Why did you drink alcohol in the toilet? Did you do some sin? There's a reason. What's the reason? We need to know that reason. Only then we can have that intention. Ufranak. Alhamdulillah, alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. All praise to Allah who removed dirt from my stomach, gave me afia. If I hadn't gone to the toilet and the dirt wouldn't have come out, then it would cause illness and sickness. I would die. This going to the, being able to go to the washroom and the toilet and to be able to relieve oneself is an act of ibadah. Sorry, is an act of health. And it's, you know, it's something that being able to go is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we think about these things. Every moment of life, this is what's meant by what? Building a connection with Allah. And there's much more. I just summarized it. All of this and much more is what? Building a connection with Allah. Having love for Allah. Building a strong connection. Once that happens, in the beginning we have to just try. Like, if you start from today, like from 6:45 p.m. today. Yeah, inshallah. First wudu we do. First salah we do. Every day. It might take about 6 months or a year or two. But then the connection will be so solid with Allah. Like you live, you breathe, you sleep, you drink, you eat. Everything is just to do with Allah. And then your wife is there. You're being good to her because of Allah. Your husband is because of Allah. Your relationship is because of Allah. You're fulfilling rights is because of Allah. You smile at someone is because of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You be kind to someone because of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's because of deen. You're smiling, you're being kind, you're being considerate, you're caring, you're loving, you're fulfilling of rights, you're giving of money, you're financially helping, assisting. Anything good to anyone in the dunya, it's all based on this connection with Allah. This is how then a human being becomes, a believer becomes. So this is the real meaning of love. What is love? What is love? Love is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and building connection with Him, and then based on that love, having love for others. That's the summary. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Maqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.